be lying to us as long as I don't give them military information.
Well, I tell you what, I have a letter from the U.S. Marine headquarters, and they know that I'm doing this, and I showed this to
them. A number of Navajo, a lot of them go to that school. Well, they'd be northern, mostly over northern, it's close, kind of closer to
them. Yeah, you're northern part of the Navajo.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in Colorado for how many years?
Oh, from during the war, I was in Denver.
Oh, Denver.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I went on our senior trip, went up there to Denver. See how they make money out of it.
Yes, it was interesting, but in the myth. Mm-hmm. How long were you in the service? You went in 43?
43, it was about November.
November 43. You'd have a lot of fun too, I suppose.
Yes,
when
we get all the work together.
Mm-hmm.
Going a refresher course, they call it.
Yes. Did you Navajos do any of your dances or anything when you got together, or?
No, we didn't have any.
Well, you were quiet about that part of it.
Well, if we were, we would have a dance course. Well, what he's considered military, so we.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well,
if they allowed us to do like that, entertainment would have, but then we don't have the material for us.
No,
yes,
no, that's true. You have certain. Well,
that's what I say. When we have a chance to give enough time, we were informed by at least somebody had, the car would have put on a display or something.
Yes.
There,
I wonder if you will in Houston. Will you be going to Houston?
Well, it all depends who all is going to go.
You know, I'd like all to go back to you.
Yeah.
I tell you, Mr. Silverstein,
mm-hmm.
we have fallen in love with the Navajo people.
Yeah.
We have never had such a
new school that we call Inman School.
Yeah.
I was up there for 5 years. And then from there, I came back down in New Mexico at Crown Point, which is my headquarters, reservation headquarters down here.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, I came over here. So I'm hoping for my, well, I'll be on the 26 years, both military and government service. So
you're a real government man, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm hoping for uh-huh. I'll have it complete 26 years in June.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I'm putting in my 94 year. And
that's wonderful. You've enjoyed that, I imagine, very much.
Yes, uh-huh.
Good work.
Really an experience, anything, but I know what really helped me is being in the military service.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have met certain people.
Mm-hmm. Gave you opportunities.
A lot of opportunity, yes.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday we had
a person, so yeah. Once in a while, it might be a certain awkward, but the way they talk about it, and what we get it here. It doesn't too much.
No.
So when they want something like that to come out in person, go out, see for themselves, well, they know.
Then they understand
the
people better.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's in the group is concerned. That's
mm-hmm.
the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this Navajo. Every time somebody gets an Indian, so what's in the they think it's just one Indian.
Mm-hmm.
The whole.
There's a lot of differences.
Yeah.
Just as much difference as there is between an Italian and a Scandinavian, you know,
uh-huh.
excepting they don't have a hair difference,
no.
the color of the hair. But in characteristics, physical characteristics otherwise,
mm-hmm.
and cultures and so forth, they're very different, aren't they?
Yes. Of course, we try to keep it culture not to fade away.
Oh, no, please don't.
Mm-hmm. I
oh,
think that's
that
very
be,
fine.
That
to
would
do
be
do.
So sad if... You know, yesterday,
November 28, 1945, you came
uh-huh.
out.
So this is where I went to school. There was a student, not knowing that was all you know. It's what the honor, what the agency had of the con youth.
Yes.
Yeah. This you can read through, but this one, what
war experiences. What do you think that most to you? Is there anything that is outstanding, an experience, anything happened to you that has moved, changed your life, or?
Well, I'd say meeting different people. Mm-hmm. Like with the boys I was with, mainly from east of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. They came from Camp Lejeune.
Mm-hmm. Camp Lejeune. Uh-huh. This broadened your perspective of humanity,
right?
Beyond your own immediate borders.
Yes, and then from there that we're with, they knew who we were, and we got along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they understand firsthand Indians.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you got an understanding of them, and they got an understanding of you.
Did you? No, I don't think you would, knowing after talking to you this morning. I don't think that would bother you one whit. But did you find that any of the Navajos found leaving the reservation and going to a far country difficult psychologically? I mean, they were used to roaming out on wide open spaces and they were put in the jungles. Was it difficult for them?
Well, to me, I don't think so, because they had, as I say, they were living on reservation before. There's a lot of things you can't get what you want there is on one man's way in Denver. So therefore, you have to get along with what you got.
I wasn't thinking so much about that angle as to leaving your people and leaving their way of life.
Your psychological
and,
change of their social life.
Well, in a way, it's half and half, I would say.
Well, I suppose that it wouldn't be much more than for you to go.
Well, on my part, my dad was, and mom was, they both uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, in the service, of course, they didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. My mom died when I was 6 years old.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. My dad's living, but still, he didn't know what was going on anyway.
Different.
Mm-hmm. So, well, as it is, I have to make my own way. So, if I go back to reservation, well, a GI education helped me to start when I got out of the service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't too big, but then it was.
But it was a good foundation.
It was a foundation of what you call a stepping stone.
Yes. And then you had those contacts with people, and you knew how to get along with them.
Yes.
How to be aggressive enough to get positions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Gave you confidence.
Right.
Do you feel that this was, your situation was typical of the other Indian young people, or do you feel that there were some reactions that were negative for getting into the service?
All of them wanted to go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now that has been my feeling.
Yeah.
That they were.
They wanted to meet
the enemy that was.
Well, it was. There was an emergency call.
Yeah.
During that year, so that you have to go regardless.
Yeah.
Well.
Mr. Canna told me that at the time that they decided to use the code, the Navajo language, as a code, that there was a call put out. Through the tribal council, through your tribe, and asking you to sign up with the Marines as code talkers. Well, now I found no history of that over at Window Rock, and the curator says he doesn't know anything about it. I did read in one of the books a declaration preceding Pearl Harbor. Was warning the Navajos that they were in danger, that the country was in danger, and telling them that they, that the chairman would depend on them to come to the fore and so forth. But I couldn't find any actual proof that such a thing happened, or did Mr. Cannon misunderstand it?
As far as the code talk concerned, there wasn't anything mentioned about it, but the way reservation is, we always say if you can understand a little English, or if they can qualify what training they will go through, well, but then they say, why is other people serving their country? Why can't we? Well, there was, so then.
Because you were in the Ute area,
uh-huh,
and not in the Navajo area.
No.
So you would not have been subjected to that to see the same.
Yeah.
Now, the recruiting was just done through the schools, wasn't it? For the code talkers.
Not necessarily. Not through the school. Well, through the, well, when they come through, if, well, they, any other boy that passed 18, you have to serve your country.
Yes, they were granted.
Yes,
that's true.
That's true.
And on my part, well, I have to, because I know what was what, and that's the bylaw.
Did you join up, or were you drafted?
Yeah, I was enlisted.
You enlisted.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Did, before you enlisted, you knew about the Navajo Code Talkers, did you?
No.
You hadn't heard about
them. They just put you in that area, in communication.
When they found you were a Navajo, they put you in there?
Until we went down, went through her boot camp, that's where I found out they have.
Mm-hmm. They automatically put you in with the Code Talkers, because you were a Navajo.
To start it, now, see, when did you enlist?
1940.
May 1943.
1943.
Mm-hmm.
They say the code talking business started in 42.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that I thought at the beginning, in order to get the program started, they did go out among the schools where they knew, the boarding schools and so forth,
mm-hmm,
where they knew that the Navajos knew English.
That was later, I presume.
But that was from 42, to get it started. Mm-hmm. And then in boot camp, they just let it communications,
mm-hmm,
and then you guys go to,
but you must remember he was not in the Navajo area.
That's
he was
true.
In the Ute area,
and
which
so
made
they
a
found
difference.
Him in
and
boot camp.
Uh-huh, and moved him
oh,
over after boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
So while you were in camp there studying the code, how much opportunity did you have to meet Philip Johnston?
Well, he was right there as an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did you have some classes with him?
Yes, uh-huh, under his, he's the overall. Yeah.
He was the overall,
and
yeah.
And we had, like John Benali, he was, he was a sergeant then, and he was our platoon leader.
John Benali was your platoon leader?
Well, he was under Johnston.
Oh, I see, Johnston,
yes,
see.
Uh-huh.
And he was there,
platoon leader there.
There was another one that said, Manolito, John Manolito, he.
Manolito.
He was next to John Benali, but there was only two of them. Then we stayed as a group, a platoon from there.
Mm-hmm.
We finished our boot camp from San Diego when we went to Camp Pelton. That's how we stayed as a platoon.
But these two men stayed at the school. They didn't go with you. They all went on with you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But when we have classes, yeah, they're the one that.
But they were leaders in the class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you left the school, they went with you.
No.
No, they stayed in school to teach the next class.
Now, there were some who did stay, who were not sent into service, but stayed to teach the next class of co-talkers.
They were particularly good teachers, and they retained them from the early class.
I believe that's what happened. After we left, when we were on our own, we were there with most of the time.
Yes. Uh-huh. So you didn't see these people anymore.
No.
Or tornado.
Yeah. Well, we're in Saipan.
In Saipan.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, we're halfway, we're at the margin, and we already parked for all the time, but then to start out by that.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Something.
Yeah, interesting. Uh-huh.
Did your father teach you to talk to a tornado?
No, of course, he don't know what tornado is.
It's like a cyclone.
But we see here is a twister.
Yes.
That's the one thing we know.
Now, the reason he asked is that we talked to a man that we think maybe was not a code talker, but he did serve, and a man by the name of Eugene Anderson. Do you know who he is?
He's
Alcoholics Anonymous. He's the officer, you know. Well, he told us he's a mystic. He is the old traditional.
He went off into a lot of mysticism.
Yes, he did. I loved it, you know. But he said that his great grandfather had told him nothing.
Don't harm that living creature. They live in just like you, so.
That's
right. That's right. That's right. We need more of that.
Yes.
No. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We're too harsh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We need to capture some.
We asked Frank Thompson. He's a very bright man, Navajo over there. We asked him about whether any of the traditional things have been carried out as far as he was concerned when he got into combat. And we were talking about praying to gods and so forth. And he was very funny and very, very joyful.
Very clever.
He said, no, we did no dances or anything of that sort. But he said, you know, when we hit Tarawa, people were dying, all people were killed. It was a terrible thing, I guess. And he said, when you get in a place like that, you pray to all the gods you ever know.
He said,
whether you're heathen or Christian.
Yeah, whether you're heathen or Christian. He said, we thought, well, now too.
Well, do you, I know that.
Yes, he brought
hair from one of his victims, and it was used in that.
Yeah. That's why it's as I say, it's old way. Well, it's a nice, they think it's just nonsense. But that's the, I don't know what.
But you'd like to keep some of it for sentiment's sake.
On my part, I'm just keeping what I was told when I was being brought up from a great grand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I believe is, I don't make fun of it, so they might be right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knows? Sometimes I wonder if the way we believe is right. I have questions sometimes. I really do.
Did you have any ceremonies? Because you were up there with the youth. Did you have any ceremonies when you left for the service?
Unfortunately, I didn't. Some did, but I didn't. I just left when I went to my school and went on.
We're not quite a part of the youth group, and that made a difference too, didn't it? Well, of course, this ceremony doesn't always, all Indians don't have it, do they?
Well, of course, it's kind of, you can't afford it, you can, but if you can't, well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sir. And my father said that he can't afford it, but of course,
it does cost.
Away.
It costs money.
You have to pay something that the person that's performing for you.
The medicine man.
Of course, I wasn't home then. I went.
So you just went.
And when you came back, was there any ceremony?
Well, I came back, of course, there wasn't. So, of course, I didn't have anything.
You didn't have any home, really, to come to, did you?
No, or home. Of course, my grandmother was from there, but then.
Was your grandfather in Colorado?
No, he was here on the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Here in New Mexico.
Now, I can read about this. The things that he brought back, sprinkled ashes over them, and then shot at it, at these things or something. Do you know what kind of a.
You know about the ceremony?
Ceremony, the squaw dance, when you bring back a part of the enemy or a part of his clothing or whatnot. What do they do at this?
Well, they squad dances. Well, mainly that's
this,
about three nights, I think, or four nights.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing here. When a patient is gets ill, what they say be what we consider is an enemy is trying to witch you like. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we have a squad dance, it's going to be reasons for a well. In order to put that person to get well, then they have tried to look for a skull which isn't pertaining to an Indian, which would be a Mexican or a white man. They have to have some kind of a dense kit, mainly a skull. I mean, they have to go to their grave to find certain, which not only that way, just any. As long as it's not an Indian.
But they prefer human skull.
It has to be human, doesn't it?
It has to be human.
It has to be human skull.
And then it has to be either a Mexican or a white man.
Or white.
That's the only one.
Because
that,
they have
that,
an Indian. They have the enemies.
That's the only one they...
I see. There is the enemy.
Because they've had the Mexican war with the Mexicans and with the whites. That's right.
That's the only reason they have to go out there. Or piece of death on certain. You don't have to be grave. They know where certain, when they had fought these around here, they know where certain soldiers are killed. They go there and they got some little stones that soldiers that bury their soldiers there.
Can they use the same skull for different skull dances?
Well, I don't believe.
It
has to be a different way. Then they could use these rooms too. The other room where they could find skulls or they could use there as a that'll be the main enemy too.
It could be another tribe. They used to do it with other tribes, I guess.
Well, the main the most commonly known are these that were with the Avalon.
Before the white man came, I suppose they had the same ceremony and they used an enemy tribe. Is that right?
I believe it.
What is the I may be confused. Is it Yeviche and the skull dance? These are two different things.
Well,
the purification and one is for healing and for different.
That's about the same. Well, healing. Yeviche won it done in winter.
Winter season. This is something I'm going to have to read a little bit more about because it's
the squad dance mainly during the summer, mainly, which is not too cold.
Oh, I see.
But they have they're similar otherwise, aren't they?
Similar enough. The medicine man, it's different all the way around. That's another classification would say a patient would be sick and not from this enemy deal, which is nothing to do with the squad dancing, or there was another thing.
More of a purification.
Same painting, but that's another group there. So certain person is getting ill from something, not from the human pain, but then it's a certain disease that you're then there's another thing what they call same painting then. So there's certain.
Yes, I read about that, how they can make a same painting then put the patient on the Philip Johnston, we were with him quite a long while, and we had 3 hours of conversation on with him. He was here down in Turkey last Sunday, and so we spent. He's getting to be a very old man now.
Yeah.
He's in his 80s, you know. And but he gave us a lot of information. Well, now he told us about how when he lived on the reservation as a very small child, which was a long time ago.
Last century.
The Navajo were stayed away from the dead bodies because they thought the spirit might come and strangle them and so forth. Now,
they wouldn't go where the dead were, he said, at that time.
And so the question came, of course, now that was way, way back. And a lot of us feel different, I mean, the white men. But did this fear of the dead body, and there were a lot of dead bodies, naturally, on Tarawala, did this affect the Navajos? Did it bother them to be close to so many dead bodies?
No.
This was an entirely different kind of world, and this is just a part of the picture.
And it was the enemy also.
And it was the enemy. Well, of course, not always if they're buddies.
Or would that have made a difference?
No.
That wouldn't have made a difference.
No, this was just a part of the war on the
right now, see, those are that got killed out there, they're buried out there among the soldier friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there, some of them. In the cemetery, those Well, if I do that way, of course, a veteran, I'll be buried over there
yes.
in the cemetery, Santa Fe.
So you will.
So that.
You'll react just like us. We go to the graves of our dead in respect to them, and you tend to do that. Did the old Navajo do that? Or did he avoid the grave?
Well.
Do you know? Or is that too long ago?
That's too long ago, I guess.
I don't know. It's so hard to pull out from the other generations these things. I just wondered.
It's like when, in my experience, as I say, I lost my mother when I was over 6 years, I guess. So, well, they mentioned that your mother is better over there. And they say, don't go over there.
Mm-hmm. So it was.
I thought I would, I guess, but something like that.
But not now so much, probably.
But after 2 or 3 years later, then I still went back up there, and I just happened to, not thinking, I just happened to just run up, walk up right to my mother's grave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you're so enlightened and so.
Mm-hmm.
Well educated and so forth, and it does.
But even at that time, it was changing for you,
mm-hmm. yes,
compared to your grandparents.
But that's their rule, whatever.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh yes, following and respecting.